This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family matters.
You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. Michelle's just joined us in the studio.
The changeover.
I'm excited.
I can't help it. I'm a social butterfly.
How big of a show do we have tonight? Seriously.
Oh my goodness. I'm really excited about tonight's show because we've got an awesome guest on who you're friends with.
I am friends with. She is a mum of a trans child, and we actually interviewed her on Trans Positions ages ago, early in the year.
Plug.
So much has happened with her, and it's great to have more of a family focus, more so, not so much trans on it.
I've already got her to autograph the gender fairy for me, copies of it. So I've kind of sold out all the copies at one of
Seriously, I've been sitting home all day today, just waiting to come in for this show. That's how excited I am.
Yay!
We do have Michelle in the studio, Gina, and myself, David, and we are also joined by Beck, who also doubles up from Stand Up Straight. Hello, Beck.
Hi, Dave.
Now, can I say, there wasn't just Beck doubling up tonight. We also heard another little voice doubling up from the steam earlier tonight.
I did.
Thursday night is the night to tune in to Joy, people.
I know, we were so informed by Dave.
I made my informer debut. So we've had, is it 2.5 hours of Beck and my voice combined?
I mean, people have been asking for it and now they've got it.
You're getting more of Dave if you want to date Dave, see?
There we go.
Exactly. Well, I've just seen it, like, with with Michelle getting nominated for every award under the sun.
Yes.
You didn't win the Brownlow on Monday, though.
No.
And Beck getting nominated for everything as well.
Hey, hold on. I have started playing AFL 9's footy, so who knows, next year, you know.
Brownlow.
There you go.
Patrick Dangerfield, watch out, Michelle. Yeah.
We're going to touch on this after this
touch
next
on
track. And this next track is a really important track because we are going to talk about some representation of LGBTQ and Partridge. How you say that so
LGBTIQ
well.
And a partridge and a pear tree.
In the media. So this next track is Tegan and Sarah, and I have played this before, but I don't care. It's such a great little song. So I want everyone to go on the internet and check out the film clip for this, and then you'll understand why it's such an important track.
You're listening to Joy, Family Matters on 94.9.
Isn't that my job?
I've taken over. You have to go and, Michelle, you have to go and rehearse your thank you speeches anyway.
Yeah. It's just like a real family you're fighting. It's special.
Exactly.
I like it. It makes me feel comfortable.
Let me read out the deets. Get your pen and paper ready. It's 0427 Joy 949 or it's 0427 569 949. Or you can phone machine at the desk 1300 Joy 949 or you can email us on there. At joy.org.au.
We like our social media, don't we, Michelle?
We totally love social media. Now, what are we looking at? Yes, you can get us on familymatters at joy.org.au, or and we're also twits. We can on Family Matters 94 and Facebook, Family Matters on Joy.
Absolutely.
I'm learning Twitter now. I think I'm all over it. I love it.
I'm slowly getting onto Twitter. But what I've been seeing on social media is, David, where are our nominations? Are we not?
I keep pressing that send and receive button at the top of your email list. Nothing's coming through at the moment.
So, okay, let's look at this. I'm surrounded by nominees here.
Yeah.
I saw your outfit for one of them coming up.
Yes.
Very nice. Very red carpet. Big tick of approval. Beck, are you dress shopping?
I think they confused me with someone else for my nomination. So I'm like, maybe I thought I was Dave.
So what was your nomination, Beth?
For the LGBTI Awards Presenter of the Year.
Now, see, hold on.
But Michelle's nominated, so I got no chance.
So I'm sitting in between competition.
We're on those photos like they do in like the boxing thing.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, so
so you've got one of those.
So I've got one of those coming up in March 2nd. So we can go to the what do you call it, the Opera House for that.
I'll practice my, like, my face for when Michelle wins, like at the Academy Awards when they're like, "What the? Oh, yeah, so happy."
The resting happy face.
The resting happy face.
We know what other resting face there is. We won't use that one.
Michelle, when you do win, because you will win, that's the word on the street that you will be winning. Make sure you mention Family Matters and ourselves.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And try
totally.
And maybe, like, Gina and I are happy to take up some nominations next year.
I'll make
Did
sure.
Did you notice how they didn't even ask us to be their dates to either of these awards? They want to go together at March, but. No.
God, this is a complicated Damn. Little setup, isn't it?
So which one of us? We're trying to get Dave a date.
Well,
we don't want to block him. You know, and there's another word to go with that, but we don't block him. So you know.
Well, I was going to say if you are on our social media, hashtag find Dave a date is still alive and kicking.
I'm going to start hashtag.
He's a handsome
nominate
man.
Gina for something.
Hashtag nominate Gina for something.
But if he sees it on social media, if they see him with either women or even two women on his side, they'll think he's a player.
That's true.
So,
true.
You know.
Ooh. Now, so Michelle, what are the other two nominations? So you've got three.
Yeah, there was some lesbian magazine actually nominated me as like their power.
What?
Power people of 2016.
Jenna's like, I'm a lesbian.
I'm the token lesbian on this show, clearly.
And you're such a good lesbian, Gina.
You are
so
good lesbian.
Good at it.
Okay, I'm not very good at sports, so.
I've seen you in overalls.
No stereotyping allowed.
I was 4 years old. And the next.
And then I'm a finalist for the Globe ANZ Better Business Award with Globe. And so it's pretty cool. And that's for my LGBTI jobs business.
Which is fabulous.
Yeah.
Absolutely fabulous.
Hey, I've worked damn hard, all right?
Okay.
And then she's got her Logie, her Grammy, her Tony.
Emmy.
No, Emmy yet.
No Emmy yet.
Transparent
did a good job of
that
this year.
Yeah, they did that, yeah.
Actually, Emmys were super amazing this year. How much representation of LGBT?
Oh,
yep, Partridge,
awesome.
Christmas stuff. One of my favourite shows.
Snowballs.
One of my favourite shows that made a very big announcement in the last 2 days is Modern Family.
Oh, yes.
And I think they're taking that title, Modern Family, extremely seriously.
Yeah.
What was the announcement? Did anyone see that post I put up earlier today?
Yes,
since we work out
I did.
Media?
And since I'm the token trans, I'll take that one. exclusive first look, TV's first out transgender child actor on Modern Family.
Awesome.
So, yeah. So leave it to the folks who bring us ABC's Modern Family to tackle one of the most controversial family issues of our day. The rights of transgender children. In tonight's episode, Cam and Mitchell's daughter, Lily, meet a boy at school who is transgender, and the producers at the 20th Century Television have provided us with the clip that you can see exclusively on LGBTQ Nation. So that's really cool.
It's amazing.
I think he's an eight-year-old child actor.
Ryan Case, I think, is the show's director. Jackson is the child's name.
Jackson
I think Jackson
Malarka
is 8 years old from Atlanta, and he's the first trans actor to be cast, and that is brilliant.
And
it
Modern Family's
so
amazing
important.
Anyway it's with just, how, you know, their representation anyway.
Exactly.
I love it.
I absolutely love it. But, you know, we've seen shows like Transparent, and there was an amazing speech when he won the Emmy basically saying, I will be very happy if I'm the last, what was it, I'm the last cisgendered actor ever to play the role of a trans person.
Well, and then there's so much to it, and Jen Richards really put her finger on that one, and Jen Richards is one of them who did the Her Story.
Her Story, absolutely.
And what it's doing is, see, when Jared Leto, and I'm not really one of those hardcore folks who get into this, but Jared Leto playing the
so this is the controversy that
million dollar
is
baby.
Over. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. $1 million Buyers Club.
Dallas Buyers Club.
That's
I knew
it.
I think
they ended up with
$1 million
at the end
of it.
They definitely ended up with $1 million at the end of it. Yeah, Dallas.
But anyway,
Buyers
but
Club,
she was saying that, look, you know, you got this guy who goes on to play as a trans woman, but then comes up and presents as a man on stage. And all what the message it gives to the wider community is that dressing up as a woman is just an act, and it's a.
Well, what Jen Richards has recently come out and said, because Her Story is the first web series to also, that was self-funded, to be nominated for an Emmy. They didn't win, but I think they won out a massive audience. She actually came out and said she's now losing casting roles because she looks too female. She doesn't look trans enough. So she's actually come out and said that, and it's probably true because she does pass very... Absolutely.
Oh,
very
she's
well.
Stunning.
Actually, absolutely.
But that's
stunning.
But that is just, that's just a cop out. Like, but look, I totally disagree with a lot of folks. I do believe the Danish Girl it needed to have a cisgendered actor.
Yes.
Majority of the film was a cisgendered man transitioning into a woman, and you were talking early days.
Yes.
Where you know, this is different. We need to have that better representation.
And I think it's so important to be able to see our true selves on screen. And this is why I'm really excited about having Jo Hurst, who's our mum and author, coming on because of the storybook. So any place we can see ourselves in the media, in songs, you know, in that film clip from Tegan and Sarah on television, we can go, that's me, and I don't feel so alone.
It's that phrase that you can't be what you can't see, whether exactly. that's about gender or race or sexuality, whatever it is. And if you don't see it, you don't...
Exactly.
You
know, and as a trans person growing up, I had none of that.
Yeah.
And the closest thing I had was RuPaul and Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
So,
and the reason I love Modern Family, because there's a lot of the shows that we're talking about, Transparent and Her Story, they're not actually for a younger family market. Mm-mm. So your kids, you can't sit down and watch that with your kids. Well, you could, but...
We've got so much to learn tonight.
We have a lot to learn tonight.
We've got award-nominated stars, and we've got Joe as well.
So Modern Family is a show you can sit down with your kids and you know, have that conversation. It's that conversation starter we were talking about with one of our guests a couple of weeks ago.
Yes. I've had so many
podcasts. There are so many podcasts.
But let's be honest, they're not as modern as this family.
This is about as modern as you get.
You're listening to Family Matters with any combination of Gina, Adrian, Michelle, David and Beck. Joy 94.9.
And if you've got any questions for our lovely guest coming soon, it's you can SMS on 0427 Joy 949 or you can email us onair@joy.org.au. And this is the part of our show where we groove into our interview.
Why, thank you, Dave. The gentle tones of his voice just brought it in. And Beck's just rolling her eyes.
Groove. Come up with a new word, Dave.
Okay, next.
Okay, next. All right, at this point, I'd love to welcome Jo Hurst. Hi, Jo.
Hello, thank you.
Now, I've known Jo actually for, God, we've known each other a year now? Or
at least.
At least. We met, we met at a few different places. We met at Pride Melbourne, the Pride March of Melbourne. We did interview stuff on trans positions. But geez, so much since then has been happening with you.
We've got to know each other's family since then.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Now, Jo is the author of The Gender Fairy, which we've seen all over social media, if you haven't. Now, what is the latest things happening with you, Jo?
Well, I guess most of my time's taken up with advocacy for trans and gender diverse children these days. So there's lots going on at the moment. There's the plebiscite, which we don't want. There's Victorian birth certificate laws, which we are trying to reform so that children and adults can change their gender on their birth certificates. There's government still going for safe schools, especially in New South Wales at the moment. Mm-hmm. We still need reform for stage 2 hormone laws. So there's a lot of advocacy and work being done all the time.
Okay. Now, your book is really, it really has opened a lot of conversations over the last year.
Yeah.
we always kind of refer to our best friend as he who should not be named. Your best friend.
Yeah.
We're thinking about not giving him airtime. But take us back to the beginning. Why did you write the book?
Well, I initially wrote a story for my son when he first transitioned. He was in prep. But I thought it might be a great idea for all children to have a book that was about them, that so they could see that they were normal, which is really important for them to know. This is a really normal thing and that they're not alone. There are lots and lots of other children out there exactly the same. And I thought it would be a great idea to have notes for parents and teachers at the back so that the children could take it to school and say, look, this is me, this is who I am, and for other children to be able to understand a social transition. So I wrote the book, and it was very well received at the time, and things were going swimmingly. Everything was looking very, very positive. And then we went, a few parents and I went to Canberra to advocate for stage 2 hormone law reform. And then the anti-safe schools attacks began. And since February, we've sort of hit the ground running. It's been a full-on year.
Is there a right age to introduce this book to children?
Well, my book's designed for children aged 4 and over. I don't think there's any wrong age, really, as long as they can understand a book that's being read to them. It's the sort of book that requires discussion as you go along, so you can tailor it to meet any age group, really. I've read it to classes of grade 5s and grade 6 and just adjusted it accordingly.
Okay.
Yeah, also.
Can I ask, Jo, as the parent of a child that has mm-hmm. transitioned, what was that experience like for you? How does that, you know, play out in your life? And I imagine that's not what you expected when you had a child.
No.
What was that like when that started? What was it like dealing with people in society and schools and your family and all those sorts of things?
It's a bit of a shock. I guess the first thing is accepting it. I think there are often signs with a very young child, and everybody's journey is different. Every mm-hmm. parent's reaction is different. Every child is different. But this is what happened with me. So it was a bit of a shock. There were definitely signs there, but I was picking them up, but I wasn't interpreting them correctly. Mm-hmm. So then when he came out to me, my first reaction was, okay, I have to deal with this appropriately. And so my first instinct was to research, to find the best help and try and deal with it as best I could. So finding the best help was obviously the Royal Children's Hospital. Mm. And I just took it from there. But, yeah, it's hard to get your head around. I think you initially have fears about the sort of world your child's going to grow up in and how that will be for them and whether they'll be okay. And not understanding anything about what it's like to be transgender, there's a lot to learn. You go on a massive learning curve. So it was huge. But I can honestly say I don't really have many fears for him at all. I'd like to change society a lot to make it a happier place for him.
Now, Jill, when you said your reaction, you sort of came out, did you find that your immediate reaction was more on the, I want to say stereotypical reactive negative side, how some parents try to go, I need to fix my child sort of thing? Or did you immediately go straight into the, when you go straight to Royal Children's and take care of it now, I'm just going to support my kid no matter what?
I didn't feel like I need to fix it. I think my initial reaction was I need to let him know that this is okay.
Okay, good.
That this is all right. And that was me personally. I think, I knew I needed to get help because I didn't know how to deal with this on my own. I had no experience at all. But there was something inside me that knew I had to let him know this was okay, because this had been building up for years. And I could tell when he was having that conversation with me that night, this was a very hard conversation for him to have. And I knew what I said was going to be quite vital.
Now, you have two sons.
I do.
And your trans son is your youngest.
Yes, he's 8 mm-hmm. now.
How has that affected the family, like, say, the grandparents or even his brother or cousins or anything like that?
So it's difficult, I think, for his brother, as it is for many siblings of transgender children, because there is such a focus on the child who is transgender, because they have higher needs in terms of having to advocate for them, you know, to doctors, schools, community, family, all of that. There's a huge focus on them. So it's really hard to make sure that that other sibling, the cis sibling, doesn't miss out. So I've had to make a real effort to spend time with my 11-year-old by himself and let him know that he's the focus of our love and attention as well. I've been very lucky with my family. Unconditional love is just the name of the game in our family on both sides. So it really hasn't been an issue. I'm very lucky like that. And I also have an incredibly supportive school community and wider community. And I think that's why I was able to write the book. I had the help of my wider community and my family and my school community, who are amazing. And it's put me in a position of being able to help others who aren't so fortunate.
And I think that when one sibling struggles, it's not so much whether it's trans or whatever, but I think when one sibling gets more attention than the other in general, I think there can be a backlash from that.
Absolutely.
And it's finding that balance. And how do you and your husband, or even how do you recoup, or how do you sort of deal with the balance of all this?
It's really difficult. I can't say I always succeed.
Yeah.
I'm really busy all the time with advocacy. It's an everyday process that is not a 9-to-5 thing.
It's hard because we both know each other. We know how hard each other work. I'm trying to ask questions there aren't even answers to.
All I can say is, and it's volunteer work too. So it's it's all encompassing. So I've got my partner who can sometimes get a bit fed up with the amount of work that's required, but having to make sure I spend enough time with my family and make sure my cis son is looked after as well, and my partner, and my trans child, I mean, make sure, because obviously my family come first. So it's really a difficult balance. Yeah. Absolutely.
Jo, was becoming an advocate an automatic reaction for you?
Not really. I think every parent becomes an automatic advocate only because we're at that point in history and time where a society isn't quite ready for trans children. So you automatically become an advocate to your immediate family, to your wider family, to your school, to your community, to the doctor, to everybody. Mm. But further than that, it can be quite difficult. I'll just write a book and this will be great for children and really help them. But I had no idea what was coming. No idea.
That was the same thing when I joined the radio show doing the stuff I did. And all of a sudden you're like, next thing you become married to this whole thing.
Yeah. With the book, The Gender Fairy, what's sort of been the feedback that you've received from, let's say, parents, kids, teachers?
Wonderful. Yep. Yeah. I think my favourite reactions are from transgender children themselves. I mean, just beautiful, beautiful messages about them seeing themselves, like you were saying before, seeing themselves in a book is really special. And they're saying, this is me, this is great, and almost tears of joy. That just makes me feel wonderful because that's what it's all about. But also it's great to hear back from parents and teachers and people like that as well, that they've found it helpful. It's really rewarding.
Do you wish you'd had your book?
Yeah, I think so. I think it would have been really helpful. I'm in the middle of writing my next book, which I think I'd written first. I wish I'd written first, actually. It will be for the same age group, but it will have more gender identities in it and different children with different gender expressions too. So I'm trying to find time to write that as well, which is really difficult.
We've got a message in here from Rodney Chang Cruz, who's him and his family.
Hi, Rodney.
Yes, him and his family are driving to Shepparton at the moment and listening to Joy on their mobile phone, and they can't wait to hear from you, Joe. They think you're an amazing person and advocate, and your book is amazing.
Oh,
so,
thanks, Rodney.
Yeah, a few hugs there for you.
Oh, he's gorgeous too.
We love Rodney.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, it's interesting, though, how there's been different reactions. And obviously you've had sort of the government and the ACL kickback and stuff from this, which exploded all over social media. But where has been, say... Where has been the biggest negative area? Where's the biggest sell?
Without the doubt, it's The Australian and The Daily Telegraph.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The book is regularly featured in a negative way in those sort of publications. And, of course, in a lot of ACL blogs and their associated social media anti-marriage equality groups. It's a bit of a go-to favourite.
It's just a children's book, people.
Yeah, I know. Right.
And thankful the readers of The Australian don't really reflect the Australian society, so that's a good thing.
Exactly, right?
Yeah. Luckily, no one really that I know reads it.
Publicity's good publicity, Joe. It's getting the name out there.
You would think.
Now, you recently went up to Canberra, didn't you?
When I met Bill Shorten, that was actually in Melbourne.
Okay.
That was last week. So myself and Karen Walker and Megan McDonald from Parents of Gender Diverse Children were invited to a meeting with Bill Shorten and Mark Dreyfus about the plebiscite to give our reasons why we thought the plebiscite might be harmful for gender diverse children. And that was absolutely wonderful. He really listened and gave great feedback. And we certainly got our chance to speak.
Were there any questions he asked you or something that you just took away from it that just has still been with you? Or
he definitely wanted to know how children and families were coping. And it was great to give him the feedback that although we're well supported in Victoria, there were families around Australia who are not well supported, and also lots of families in rural areas as well.
Yeah, because people don't realize that the plebiscite is actually, it's more than just marriage equality. It's actually affecting everything around color of the rainbow.
Yeah, what I said to him is it would be unethical to fund the psychologists and the doctors to tell our children they're normal and then fund a plebiscite to tell everyone that we're not. Yeah. That they're
exactly.
Not.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think you're pretty normal, Dave.
Just as a side note.
Hashtag find
David.
I hate the word normal.
Can I ask you a question, Joe? We had some amazing kids in here last week that had gone up to Canberra with the Rainbow Families to talk to the politicians about the plebiscite.
Yes, yes.
And what I was talking to them about is that I constantly find that kids just embrace stuff so much better than adults do. And have you had that experience with your son that the kids are just like, oh, yeah, he's another boy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you hear this all the time. Children are so accepting. They're not conditioned the way we are to have any prejudice. So this really isn't an issue. And those kids are wonderful. You had in last
week.
Oh,
weren't they gorgeous?
Yeah, the Rainbow Family's children, they're just beautiful and so well-spoken. So absolutely. That's just the case. It's not children who are prejudiced.
No.
The kids are all right. As for our presenters, Family Matters, Joy 94.9.
Don't you love that promo?
I do love that promo.
We're fine.
The presenters are average, aren't they?
At best.
But as we've been learning lately, the kids definitely are all right. And as you said, Joe, before, like all the other kids, they interact with your son. They're like, oh, he's just a boy just like me and whatever. Yeah, and my kids have the same thing. They'll interact with other kids and be like, oh, they're like, oh, is that? Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. You interrupt me? That's fine, Dave. Just fine. I'm talking to our beautiful host and you want to cut me off.
Sorry. We have a question from Adam Walker who messaged in on our Facebook page. This is a question to Joe, obviously. What do you think teachers can do to help support gender diverse children in the classroom?
Okay. So, of course, the best people to tell you that are Safe Schools, who do wonderful PD days on this. But, yeah, I can give you an idea. I think some of the best things that you can do is not to gender everything. This is in general. So, for example, lining the children up in boys and girls can be one of the most harmful thing for some children. If you can imagine, there might be a child who is not sure of their gender or who is gender fluid, who hasn't come out to their parents, it can be incredibly distressing for them to have everything made very gendered like that. Something else you can do if you've just had a trans child transition in your classroom, on the other side of things, is to constantly use their new pronoun to reinforce that gender. So, for example, if you just had a new a child transition who's a boy, constantly use he and him, things like that, reinforce it. There's some simple little things that you can do to support young children in the classroom. It's really not hard at all.
It's very simple. And before Dave cut me off...
What am I doing cutting off award nominating presenters as well?
I know. Cut off the non-nominated ones. Yeah.
Don't you know who I am?
Okay, I'm turning my mic off. I'm going home.
But that's the point I was getting to before, is that like with my kids, and they're bouncing on the trampoline and I come in and they're like, oh, so who's that, your aunt? And they're like, no, that's my dad. Like, your dad's wearing women's clothes. And she goes, yeah, well, my dad didn't feel right. And she took some medicine. She feels better. And she's... Michelle now. The kid just starts bouncing on the trampoline. Oh, okay. And they go back to playing.
Yeah.
Kids get it.
It can be that simple. There can be some things they'll do, like come up to a child and say, are you a boy or a girl? And that can be an incredibly painful question for some children. What you could do is encourage children, if they have questions about any child, to come to you as a teacher rather than go to the child, and then just sit them down and answer any questions. So if there's misgendering going on in the playground, if there are any problems, rather than pick out those children and make them have a big chat with the transgender child and all kiss and make up, take the child who's misgendering the other child aside and just say, hey, do you have some questions about this kid? Would you like to know a bit more? And just have a chat.
Is there some confusion between gender identity and talking about like tomboys and girly boys?
Yeah, exactly. So that's the difference between gender identity and gender expression, and they do get very confused. So you might have, for example, a young boy who likes to wear dresses, and that's his gender expression. That's the way he chooses to dress or wear his hair or move or play with toys. That's all gender expression. Gender identity is how you feel inside about your gender. They're completely different things. So you could have a perfectly female gender expression but have a male gender identity.
Now, the hard thing I actually found recently, because I did education over at one of the universities, and I was speaking to a whole group of professors, and they were actually, one of the two professors was doing psychology, and he was talking about the development of sex over, evolution and stuff, and the students absolutely like, what are you talking about? You should be talking about gender and blah, 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 and he literally was arguing with them. So obviously, there's a lot of education that can be done by the staff, by the institutions. And that's what I'm working on right now at this particular university. But then again, that's where Safe Schools definitely comes in so well with this.
They can work with it, doing professional development days for the teachers, which is absolutely fantastic, I think, and really necessary with transgender children. Absolutely. But then, who's teaching the teachers at university? and who's teaching the doctors, when they're medical doctors, when they're at university. That this.
But there's so many
areas of there are GPs who don't know anything.
They don't even understand
what
intersex is.
No, that's right. So there's so many areas of education that are lacking, and there are a lot of people out there trying to change this. A lot of people working towards changing this, but it takes time.
Yes.
Joe, if this is a very small question, if there was one thing you could change tomorrow about society, I guess, to accept, you know, gender diverse children, adults, whatever, what's the biggest thing you think that needs to be worked on?
I think to know that this is normal, and I think diversity is something worth celebrating. So instead of questioning a child's gender identity, are they too young to know, is this something they make up called radical gender theory, think something like that, to know that this is just normal. It's a normal part of diversity, and it's actually... it's not something to be frightened of. It's something we support and celebrate. I think if we could just change that, then everything else would fall into place.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we see a lot of mums in this space becoming advocates for the kids, and we've got another message from one of our fantastic gay dads in Rodney, who's loving your work on tonight's show again, Joe, and more hugs from Rodney and the family. But where are the dads in all this with the advocating?
Well, there's been a lot of research done in the US on this very subject, and Ginger Gorman released an article on news.com today about this. It's a paradox. I mean, you've got mums like me doing the care at home, and that's a big gender stereotype, but we are doing most of the parenting, the mums. But then there's the paradox in that it's the mums getting out and advocating for the children and changing how people think about gender in a really different sort of way. And I think it just comes down to mums doing most of the parenting. It's the only thing I can really think of. There's some amazing supportive dads out there, and they're absolutely wonderful, just like my partner. But when it comes to advocating, there are very few. And I think I posted on my Gender Fairy Facebook page recently a wonderful podcast from a mother in America who gender mom, I think that's
it.
Michelle can say it for us.
Mom.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the way. Her name's Marlo Mack, and she does these beautiful podcasts, which are just her speaking and her transgender child. She interviewed her ex-husband about how he came to terms with their transgender child and how he decided to support their child. And I would really recommend listening to it. It is the most beautiful story of how a dad came to realize that you can't change a child or anybody's gender identity, and the best thing to do is support your child. It's really beautiful.
We'll make sure that our lovely producer Gina gets on top of that and shares it on our oh, there you go. she's on it now.
She's that good.
Yeah, definitely. It's all these kind of articles are great to go and share with the wider community, so that we just sharing this knowledge and sharing this love to show just more, well, lack of a better word, normal, that everything can be normalizing it all.
That's right, exactly. I think if we can just get rid of a lot of the misinformation that's been put out there this year as well, there's been an awful lot of misinformation spread through the people we were talking about before. And I think once it gets out there on social media, people tend to think of it as fact. And it's now taking a lot of work to get the real facts out there and let people know, no, these kids are normal. This is the right thing to do to support them. It's just taking a lot of work to get that message out there.
Now, one of the questions, because I've gone and spoken to some of the children's groups, the parents who are, of children of trans kids, and one of the things that still kind of stuck with me was how do we talk about not so much puberty with our trans kids, but things like children, having children, and what their expectations and. Like, that is a bigger, wider question. How is that handled?
I think it's something that parents of transgender children think of a lot. I'm hearing that we have come along in leaps and bounds with fertility for our children in the last couple of years, and I'm really excited about it. And as the children get older, some of them do question that. Some of them say, no, I'm just not interested, and who would know? Because they're young, they don't really know, perhaps. No. But there are many options now open to them, and I believe you might have.
Yeah, I think Gina's working on aligning up something for this coming up soon, another guest. So on that note, we'll take a step out. This is Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
Great shows. Great topics. Great radio. Joy 94.9.
Oh, I'll take this opportunity to farewell James, our lovely program director.
Oh, yes. Bye, James. Sad.
I know. Anyway.
Out with the old, him with
onwards and upwards. So, Michelle, do you start Monday as the program director?
Oh, well, you know, I'll have to try and win that award too, you know.
That's right.
Got enough going on my plate as it is. So, Joe, talk to us about birth certificate changes.
Right. So, birth certificate laws in Victoria, well, in Australia, currently say that you can't change the gender on your birth certificate unless you have surgery.
And I'm going to go touch on that as well. Obviously, going through it myself, you can pretty much update every piece of documentation. My passport, my everything says female, but my birth certificate says male.
Right. So unless you have gender affirmation surgery, and in the case of trans men, the only thing they will accept is a full hysterectomy, nothing else. No other surgery is acceptable. So what the Victorian government is asking for or putting forward is that that becomes unnecessary. And also they're asking that children under 18 be allowed to change their gender on the birth certificate with a letter from the doctor, of course, with conditions in place. It passed through the lower house with some quite nasty speeches from some of the opposition, but it will go start being debated again on the 11th.
And this is a thing that absolutely gets me. And I think Gina found an article as well. No, I did. You followed up on it. It was horrendous. It was from the Herald Sun. Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much.
Angry paper. Ruffling.
Oh, yeah. I know the one.
I didn't have a sound effect for that one.
Yeah, I heard his speech in Parliament.
And what got me was, and this is the thing that I really had a long, I had a conversation with my mom at like 2 a.m. actually the other day about it. And people don't understand that they keep focusing too much on the actual flesh of it all. They're not looking at what's actually driving it. And so even though I haven't had affirmation surgery, I have estrogen in my body. I couldn't care less like I used to how I was driven. My drive is completely different. My focus is different. But no, what you have is like it's an evil thing and it's just, you know, it's what drives you.
Oh, it'll give you access to legally sanctioned spaces for women. Oh,
I think gender's not horrible. About what's in your underpants. That's the important thing.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, people think that all of a sudden I'm going to come in there and invade a space and molest people. And it's like, well, no.
The reality is it's not actually going to change any of those things. I mean, women-only gyms are operating really well with transgender women in them. Single-sex schools are operating really, really well with transgender children in them currently at the moment. So none of those things that they are talking about are actually going to change. They are already happening really successfully in our society. So if there's anyone out there who would love to go to their Liberal MP or any MP that's not Labor or Greens and talk to them about these laws, we'd just be so grateful. Well,
I use the gym at the women's gym that I go to. Well, not the women's, but I use the gym that I go to in the women's room and I change in the women's
room.
That's
right.
And there's no issues. There's no, at the time, trans people want to get in, stay under the radar, get in, get out. We just don't want to be bothered.
And a birth certificate is not going to change that.
No. God, no.
You say a birth certificate's not going to change that, but I assume it would make a massive difference, though, to transgender people. And either of you, Michelle or Joe, you probably both can speak to that.
I think because I talked to more of the adults who are going through it more. The kids aren't exposed to this as much now. So as a transgender person, now going through as a child, they won't develop the secondary characteristics. So if I had been a child going through transition, I wouldn't have grown as tall, wouldn't have as broad of shoulders, I wouldn't have to deal with facial hair, all that stuff. And I would have developed more as I would have had. It's almost like turning switches on and off in your chromosome things. And so the problem is, there's those worries around murders. There's the unconscious bias and conscious bias of work employment, dating, all kinds of stuff. And so it's stuff that I work on with my business to change workplaces and stuff. And that's where Joe's working on places like school and education, you know, places there. But people are too afraid to be themselves. And they just want to hide and do what's called passing.
Yeah.
So that they don't get attacked or whatever. Because one of the biggest things, especially we talk about with the media, and the media helps drive this, and what we were talking about with Jen Richards earlier, was that the media is still portraying women as trans women as sort of that punchline.
Yeah.
And when you're portraying that women, trans women really are just men dressing up as women, like Jared Leto in the Dallas Buyers Club, that's how it portrays. And so there are actually a lot of men who don't identify as gay or bi who are actually attracted to trans women. It's there's statistics in places like brothels, et cetera, that but at the end, there's that shame that, oh, my God, now I'm looked at as a gay guy. And then they start bashing, beating trans person.
Yeah.
And so it's basically, I want to be completely past. I don't want anybody to think that I am or know that I am. And I don't want to hide it. That's why I'm so different.
Yeah.
but there's many people that it's very important to them. They don't want any documentation to say that they were, in, like, say, a trans woman. If they were a man at birth and whatever. They just want to be a woman and nobody, don't want anybody knowing.
Yeah.
And I think for the children too, if they have to apply for a job, if they have to apply for their license, it outs them. And they may be, and there are many things where you have to show your birth certificate and they will be reluctant to do so and not participate fully in society if they have to out themselves with a birth certificate. But even that knowing that, I know my own son, just knowing that that F is there on his birth certificate, he finds quite distressing. So it's like that sense of validation as well, I think.
It really is. And it just, I can't, that's the words I'm trying to get for it. You know, it's hurtful to some people. They just can't be. And if they've got to show those documents, it's hard. And they've got to constantly have that explanation. You know, like myself, I'm quite resilient. That's why I'm in the space I'm in, where there are some people who don't want to have that conversation or have to explain or talk about or why.
And they shouldn't have to.
No, they shouldn't.
And it goes back to that. It was a conversation we were having on Stand Up Straight earlier. I said, no one makes me go around to people and say, oh, my name's Beck and I'm a female and I like to have sex with men. Like, no one makes me out myself like that. No.
But whereas, maybe it's even constant in the conversation. Well, why do you work at a gay radio show?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I want to. Well, but they're a gay radio station. You're not gay.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's like, it's a constant loop of questioning.
But I find
I'm here to find a date.
Yeah. And I'm here to help Dave find a date. So, you know, everyone wins. But it is that whole thing about, you know, people who are transgender or gay or bi or whatever it might be, have this constant need to explain to everyone what they are and why they are.
And I think that's why you see so many mothers of transgender children out there advocating, because many of us are heterosexual, cisgender, white women. And we are coming from this sense of real privilege where we have never had our rights questioned in our whole lives. Now, someone is questioning the rights of our child? No way. Mm. So it's like, hang on a minute. You know, you don't even realize that there's this sort of discrimination around.
Because we have straight privilege. You.
We have straight privilege. Yeah. Straight white privilege.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, and the thing is these children know who they are at this age more than most people at 40. No, these kids have an idea. They're not tainted by society or anything like that. They know
because they're supported.
Exactly. And
even if they're still working it out, they need to be supported to do so.
Yeah.
I think that's really important as well. And the research shows that as well.
So we've had the success of the Gender Fairy. Is there a second book in the works?
Yeah, there is. I'm writing it. I'm working on the notes at the back as well. It's finding the time to do so. Okay, and then I'm going to find a publisher this time. I'm not self-publishing because I do not have the time to look after it.
I can tell you, and it's a comic book strip called Super Mish.
And, and she'll get an award for it.
and can I play the villain, the token twink?
Yeah.
Yes, I love it. I want to steal your shoes.
And Joe, just back on the first book as well, why is it called The Gender Fairy as well?
The main character is called The Gender Fairy. The main character is non-binary. So at the end of the book, the children say to the Gender Fairy, are you a boy or a girl? And the Gender Fairy says, does it matter? And the reason I wanted a fairy is because you don't know who that child is going to want to speak to about their gender and who they're going to seek advice from. You don't know whether it's a parent or a teacher or a doctor. So to have someone that could be anybody, basically.
Fairies
the
are
idea.
Very approachable.
Well, you would think so.
Yeah.
You would think so.
Sorry, Michelle and I are just disputing.
You're having your own conversation over there.
We really need to learn sign language, Dave. I think Dave is telling me we need to step away. And you are listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. Welcome back. You are listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. And unfortunately, we have reached the end of the show. If you have missed tonight's show or any of our other past shows, you can follow us on our Facebook page on joy.org.au/Family Matters. You can also get us on Facebook on Family Matters on Joy. We're Twits as well, Family Matters 94, or email us familymatters@joy.org.au. Gina, when are we going to start following this on iTunes? I'm beginning to wonder.
I've logged the call with IT.
I think last I saw IT was in like Thailand. Okay.
You guys are doing really well. But if you just go on our webpage, you can download the podcast anyway.
Exactly. You can. Directly off our page, that's all right. The other shows.
And we've got no program directory member, so it's anarchy at the moment at Joy.
Oh, my
anarchy.
God. Pure anarchy.
Just like sharing, Beck and I are just sharing mics.
Yeah, we're just going crazy.
Crazy.
Joe, I would, again, thank you so much for coming in and spending the evening with us. And
oh, it's a pleasure. It's always lovely to come in here. You guys are lovely.
You can come back, Joe.
Oh, thanks.
I love that you hugged everyone on the way in, and I'm like, where's my hug?
I'm about to give you one.
Can I mention, Joe actually went to shake my hand, and I felt a little bit discriminated. But anyway, we eventually
hugged.
That's
why I hugged you. I couldn't leave you out.
And it's the Italian mama, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the Italian thing.
Well, look, Joe, I look forward to catching up soon and talking more about, you know, some of the stuff within our own community, and hopefully we can have you back soon to talk about some other stuff.
Wonderful.
I think maybe I need to connect you with my mom.
Absolutely.
That'd be great.
Joe has been great tonight.
She has. She's always on her game. So what we got coming up next week, Gina? Oh. Talk to us.
Oh, I know.
Dave's like, sorry, Dave. Dave.
Me.
Dave wants to win an award for talking about next week's show.
We have a doctor coming in to discuss fertility options for our trans individuals.
Ooh.
So, great show coming up.
So
well.
I can have babies.
Yep. Why not?
Also, the doctor's actually Dave. It's not a real doctor.
Dr.
Dave's just
Dave.
Stay stuff.
Dr. Dave. Is that what his name?
Actually, if he was a doctor, he might get more dates.
The bank balance is not as big as a doctor's. I make it up in other areas. And that's a good lead up into our next show, The Woods.
When you show off your award.
No, The Woods. The Woods are up next. They're eyeing us off through the window.
Are they?
They want our microphones.
They're like, get out of here now.
Yeah, exactly. Follow us on all the Facebook,
now,
Twitter.
We can follow up you back this weekend, can't we?
Yes, I'm going to be on Saturday Magazine talking about football.
Yep. Are you doing anything for during the football as well? Or?
Not during the game, but 10 till 12 on Joy Saturday.
Okay, beautiful. The Family Matters. Talk to you soon.
See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.